Are you ready to rock your profits? It's time for Finance Rockstar Radio. Author, speaker, and accomplished air guitar player, your host is Nicole Fendi, the Numbers Whisperer. This show is for entertainment purposes only and is not intended for financial, tax, or legal advice.
To have you here today with Jill Salzman. Oh my God, Jill is just a powerhouse, exciting, fun, and funny. So it's going to be a great show. Before we get started and I give you all the super deets about Jill, just want to remind you that we do broadcast here live on Blog Talk Radio, where the show Small Biz Finance, past episodes are available here, as well as on our website, thenumberswhisperer.com. And, of course, the chat room is open. You can call in. People don't usually, I think you're afraid I'm going to beat up on you or something. The guest call-in number is 806-830-8322. And, of course, the chat room, you can be anonymous and ask questions. So, let me tell you a little bit about Jill, and then we're going to welcome her to the show. Jill Salzman is currently growing her third entrepreneurial venture, The Founding Moms, the world's first and only kid-friendly collective of monthly meetups for mom entrepreneurs. A graduate of Brown University and law school. Yes, she's a lawyer with a personality. It's almost as exciting as a numbers person with a personality. She started a music management firm and then launched a baby jewelry company before creating her current venture. Jill's been featured in national media outlets, including People Magazine, the Chicago Tribune, Daily Candy Kids, NBC5, and WGN-TV. And we have her here, Are We Cool or What? She is the author of Found It, a field guide for mom entrepreneurs, you need to get it, a columnist for NBC Chicago, has been published in the New York Times, and gave her very own TED Talk on 11-11-11. In her spare time, Jill enjoys kloofing, baking, and erasing her daughter's crayon artwork from the kitchen wall. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We're very excited.
Yeah, very excited to be here. And you, reading that intro, I'm kind of listening going, I can't, who is that? Who does all of that? Because I'm exhausted. So thanks for that long intro.
I know. Got to take a breather here. You know, take my union break. I'll be right back.
Great. Great.
Well, I always like to start with people's journey because we all have a different entrepreneurial journey, and it really does help us to hear other people's. So for you, it's the third one.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, because I met Jill at Spark and Hustle here in Minneapolis. She doesn't live here, but she was here promoting her book, Found It. And I have to admit, she's so energetic and outgoing. It's probably how people feel when they meet me, like, you're really a finance person. Because she told me, I'm an attorney.
I actually still can't believe you're a finance person, but you are the finance person with the most personality in the world. I hope everyone listening knows that.
Well, and Jill, when Jill told me she was also an attorney, I'm like, really? this is your third venture.
Yeah.
What inspired this one? Wow.
Hopefully not last. Right. I was very, very inspired to start the first company that I launched, which was in 2005, because I'd worked in music biz forever, and I wanted to manage bands for a living. And as I was going along and doing that, the only reason I started my second venture was because when you are managing bands, you're making money when they're on tour, and they're playing concerts, and they're selling T-shirts. But when they're not on tour and they're in the studio, you're not really making much money. And so I thought, you know what? I would love to start something on the side. I've already started one company. Shouldn't be that hard. Lo and behold, running two companies at the same time is quite a feat that, of course, I had no idea it would be. And during running the two companies, my second company was just selling baby jewelry. It started out online, ended up going into retail stores. And after some time, I was really, really hungry to meet other women who had babies and had companies, not unlike yourself. And it's really strange to say out loud now that about 2.5, 3 years ago, I didn't know a single one. It's strange because I know so many now. But I didn't know a single one, so I went to meetup.com not intending to start a sort of business. At all.
Famous
not intending
word,
it.
Right?
I know. And I opened up a meetup. I invited anybody who self-identified as a mom entrepreneur, and I said, come meet with me. I'm really desperate to meet you. I've been working out of a home office for years and years. And so I met up with a handful, and that handful turned into about 200 members 6 months in, and we're now 2.5 or 3 years later, and we're about 3,000 members. So there are a lot of us who apparently have the same need that I did. And so once I noticed that it really got going, I ended up closing up my first company and selling my second so that I could do this full time.
Wow. Was it hard to close or let go? Because it seems to me, you know, you're speaking as a mom, your business almost becomes another kid.
Absolutely. There you go. I couldn't have said it better. I'm lying. I'm partially lying. The second business that I started, which was a baby jewelry business,
yep.
I had absolutely no trouble selling or getting rid of because I discovered along the way I hated selling products. So I was actually elated when somebody said, I'd like to buy your business. But the first business was extremely hard because I didn't really know it until I decided to close it, that it was a huge part of my identity. And I was known as this music biz chick, and everybody knew me in one context. And so to start an entirely different business and say I'm not managing bands anymore, even though now it seems easy peasy, at the time it was really tough.
Right.
Really, really tough. But I made it through. Survived.
Okay, so a small, minor trivia question, because when I used to live in Wisconsin, I knew an attorney who, but you would know she's an attorney when you met her. I knew an attorney who worked a lot with artists, creative people, including musicians. And she told me the most business-like artistic people she's ever worked with were metal bands.
Well, are you saying metal man?
No, metal. Like Metallica type, you know, like metal bands. Yeah, so
that's probably because they're the biggest oxymoron of them all, because you would expect them to be the least business savvy. You know what's interesting? Having worked at a major record label in New York City years and years ago, I discovered right away before I even became an entrepreneur that the best, brightest, and most successful artists are the most business savvy. So if they're at the top of their game, and now I guess we could talk about Lady Gaga, Kanye West, whoever is at the top of your game, any country stars, they're probably extremely business savvy, because you really can't climb to the top unless you're
right.
Pretty on top of your stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, if you, lover or hater, if you look at Madonna's career, she is
totally.
A very smart business person, you know, and to survive
totally.
As long as she has in the industry and still do these sellout tours. You know, globally, that's business. That's not just artistic talent.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, as you know, I wrote the book, How to Be a Finance Rockstar. There's actually a lot of lessons from musicians. And, you know, there's a lot of corollaries, and they're different, like the Grateful Dead. Here's an interesting corollary. The Grateful Dead made a living being different. You know, when they were touring, they encouraged people to record their live shows.
That is so funny you bring exactly that example up, because when I go out and I speak to lots and lots of different audiences, that is the exact example that I always bring.
Really?
Yes, exactly that one. I always bring up the Grateful Dead, even though I absolutely hated their music.
Yeah, I don't like their music either.
they were sort of the first band to epitomize the street team and epitomize branding and epitomize customer loyalty. And so they're pretty much the best example I have of any artist in the whole wide world. And they were one of the first to say, hey, go out and take our stuff and do it. We're not going to charge you, and go and promote us. And they became so good at it. I don't know if you know, they ended up creating their own travel agency so they could get their fans to their shows a lot easier.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there are now a lot of jam bands that have that sort of have come
right.
from that universe and also do things like, you know, get discount flights, discount hotels, really cater to the fans so that they show up and they promote and make the bands rich.
You know, I didn't know that, but it makes sense because years ago when I was in college, I helped pay for school by waitressing. And one of the guys that I worked with was a huge Deadhead. And him and his girlfriend would follow, they would take time off and they would spend their vacation going to Dead concerts.
Oh, how funny.
And that was, just talking with him, I was fascinated. I'm not a fan of their music, and that's fine. You don't have to like all the same thing. But I was fascinated talking with him because he was the first one who told me, oh, yeah, they encourage you to record and this and that. And as I got older and I started researching it, I'm like, wow, what a different philosophy. And it was incredibly successful.
Totally.
And he was a great example because he would tell anybody who would sit still for 2 seconds how great they were.
Right. And you know what's funny about that? In the modern day, it wasn't actually that long ago, but I was just speaking to a woman the other day who was at a taping of the Ricky Lake show. And if you've ever been to any studio audience or any TV anything, they usually either take your cell phone away or they cut off cell service and they don't allow you to text anybody during a show.
Okay.
This woman showed up to the taping, and for this specific taping, which was on social media, they let everyone in the studio audience use their cell phones to tweet, to post to Facebook.
Yep.
And it was so fantastic, not that the episode was great, which I'm sure it was, but that this woman came back and was just telling everyone under the sun about how cool this was for
right.
Ricky to do. And so how genius of Ricky to be having people promote her stuff for her. It's the same sort of thing.
Does she have a new show, or was that a while ago?
No, she has a brand new show. It's back on.
Okay. I did not know that.
Ricky Lake show is back.
I have to admit, because I do like The Offspring, and there's the song, which there's one song, and they go, you can go on Ricky Lake.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how
it's
funny. That's the old Ricky Lake.
Song.
That's the old one. She's
yeah,
back,
it's the old one.
New,
yeah.
It's revamped, and she's great. Yeah.
Anyway, that's, yes, I know. I have a rather eclectic taste in music.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
So there are two questions I like to ask of every person that comes on my show because they are so illuminating, and listeners always tell me how much they enjoy hearing the answers. The first one, especially because, you know, you are what I would call in a good way a serial entrepreneur because you've done it in a successful manner.
Definitely.
What, based on your experience as an entrepreneur, is the one thing, it could be a big expense, it could be a major decision, that was a good one, and if you were to start another business tomorrow, you would do it again?
The first thing that comes to mind, which is not a thorough vetted answer, is publicity.
Oh.
That theme has been... It sort of existed for me, at least, through all of my businesses. I have approached it the same way. I have always gone after a lot of it. And it is, even though I think a lot of people either look down on publicity or they don't like to do it or they think they don't know how to do it, if you can figure out how to get a few local papers to cover you and take that and keep leveraging that into a bigger publication and a bigger publication and a bigger publication, it's just so incredible in reaching people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people like to talk about, you know, social media. I'm sitting on that all day, and it's really effective. And it is in a lot of respects, but I hope that other entrepreneurs don't forget the publicity arm. There is nothing like creating your own publicity and being able to tell folks I've been featured here, there, and everywhere. Because if you walk into a room and say, hey, I was featured on someone's Facebook page. No one is going to care. And in fact, people who are on Facebook don't care about seeing stuff about your business. But for some strange reason, if you are in your local newspaper that you might never read, other people will think really highly of what you're doing.
Right. Right.
So that's definitely something I would be doing for the next venture that I launch.
a quick funny, after I launched my book, I went to school at Northern Michigan University, which is in Marquette, Michigan. It's not a huge university. It's not a huge town.
I know of it.
Yes, well, thank you. And I was up there. I was speaking to some groups at the university, and I was also doing a book promotion while I was there at the bookstore. And so, okay. Of course, I called the local TV show channel because TV6, and I'm like, you know, it's the UP. There's not really tons of news that they'll come out and cover me.
right?
And they did.
And they did. Awesome.
Yes, they did. And what's even funnier, though, is then they did a little write-up on their website afterwards. Okay, now keep in mind, the school is N, as in Nancy, M as in Mary, U, okay? And it's the only university in town. It's a small town. So they write the headline for the online part, and they put M as in Monday, N as in Nancy, U. MNU grad launches book.
Oh, no.
People went out and commented on it on social media. What's MNU?
Funny.
Okay.
Well, you know what they say. Any press is good press. So we'll take it.
Someone did put in there, yeah, but I'm still getting the book. So I'm like, okay, you know.
That's great.
And so don't forget about your hometown, especially if it's a smaller town or a small community. I think everybody
should start there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, it's not like there's lots going on. So, even the cameraman who came out and did the interview part, you know, he didn't do the final footage on TV, but, you know, the initial footage for that they edit and do whatever to. We're always looking for good local news, you know, especially positive stuff.
Yeah.
So that was, definitely a good starting point.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, so on the flip side of things, because we're all human and we've all made mistakes, what is something you wouldn't do again or you would do differently that, looking back, you know, lesson learned, okay, that was not something I would ever repeat?
I think I don't really know how to encapsulate this into a lesson, but the biggest mistake I ever made was being very, very green and new in running my first company, which was my music management company, and having a band or a client tell me, I really want to go play a show with a really, really famous band. Mm-hmm. And in order to prove to that client that I was really good at my job, I went ahead and contacted and booked said huge client. It was the Black Crowes.
Okay.
And I booked them to play a show. And I barely looked over the contract that I signed to book the Black Crowes. And then said client, who turned out to be, let's just say a bit of an addict. Suddenly in the middle of nothing decided, he changed his mind and decided, I don't want to do the show anymore. Cancel it, please.
Oh, my God.
Right. That should have said right there, Jill, close up shop and go do something else with your life. But I didn't. I called up the Black Crowes agent and I said, I'm so sorry, we're going to have to cancel. Good luck to the Black Crowes. And now, of course, coming out of my mouth, it sounds absolutely inane. Why wouldn't I know? But the agent said, well, of course you're welcome to cancel as long as you pay the $5,000 cancellation fee.
Ah!
And, right. So got stuck with a little bill that I did not need, all because, A, I listened to a client to prove a point, and, B, I didn't read through the contract thoroughly. And P.S., this was right after I graduated from law school.
I was going to say, Jill, I hate to point this out, but you're an attorney.
No. You would think. But, hey, I was really hungry. I was really green. Yep. I wanted to prove myself. And that is probably the biggest mistake I've ever made, because after you make a mistake like that, you're not going to do anything like that again.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you know what, though? Because a lot of people have made mistakes, especially, you know, what's the fine print of cancellation or anything like that. And
sure.
You know, and it underscores what I like to tell clients, that, you know, business that costs you money, business where either you have to, like you said, you have to pay a cancellation fee, or business mm-hmm. where you never get paid. Okay, because that's a complaint I hear a lot. Business where you never get paid. it's costing you money because you're working for free instead of earning money somewhere else.
Right.
Using up resources is worse than no business at all.
Well, and particularly, that's such a great point. With small businesses, it's really, really hard for a lot of people to say, hey, you know what, I don't want to do this. It's not worth my time because people don't know how to value their time when they're starting out in the first few years. And you don't know to put a price tag on that and calculate it up. And even if it's amazing for exposure, I mean, maybe there's a reason to do it, but you still need to look at it as time invested.
I love that because that is exactly what I tell my clients is you need to calculate the value of your time. And if you get free publicity, then you look at, okay, how much time am I going to have to invest to get that publicity? Is it have that dollar value?
Totally.
I actually wrote a guest post for Carol Roth. She wrote the forward. On that topic, valuing the freebies. So for the listeners, it's carolroth.com. You go over to the blog, search for my name, Nicole Fendi, and it's a post all about valuing that stuff because there are times to do it. I'm not against it. And then there are times to say, no, I'll pass.
Right.
So, yes, I completely agree. Okay. I'm watching the time here because I want to make sure we get through everything.
Sure.
So you've hit on this a little bit, but I want to touch on it some more. And I've heard this from other people is the whole mompreneur thing. You know, that's a term people use, mompreneur.
Yep. Yep.
And I have to admit, I've been hesitant to embrace it because there are a lot of people who I think have a kind of snobby attitude about it. Like, well, if you're a mompreneur, how serious could you be?
Right.
How do you hear that and how do you combat that?
You know, I have a funny story for you about that. I started out the Founding Moms long before we became formalized. We were just called, it was a little meetup called the Momtrepreneur Exchange because to me, the word entrepreneur has that T at the beginning of the word. And so I thought, well, if you're a mom entrepreneur, we can shorten it to Momtrepreneur. So I called it that for a little while and we changed the name partially for trademark reasons and partially because it was such a mouthful. Lo and behold, people start saying mompreneur all over the place, which literally just from a semantic spelling standpoint, I can't stand because the word is not entrepreneur. We're entrepreneurs.
Right.
So I took to calling myself a mom entrepreneur. I still call myself a mom entrepreneur. I was then offered the amazing opportunity to write for my favorite paper in all of the land, the New York Times. And I pitched to them, can I write about this whole, exactly what you're bringing up, Nicole, this shying away from being called a mom anything. I'm just a businesswoman. I'm just an entrepreneur.
Right.
And my argument is always that if we keep shying away from calling ourselves mom entrepreneurs, that's just reinforcing the fact that it's embarrassing to call ourselves a mom entrepreneur and it weakens the name. So I say it proudly, and because I run the Founding Moms, I'm kind of on a personal mission to change the mindsets of people and say, hey, you know what? Moms are serious businesswomen. We get together and we build our businesses together. But the interesting part about the story, I submitted my piece. The editor there, I will not name names, basically almost nearly rewrote my piece. I mean, the essence of what I wanted to argue was in there, but the title came out and said, Why I'm Proud to Be a Mompreneur. So just before it was published, I emailed her really fast, and I said, look, I just want you to know I absolutely hate the term mompreneur. Can you change it to say why I'm proud to be a mom entrepreneur?
Right.
And lo and behold, I was not listened to. So you can probably Google and find it right now, an article in the New York Times by Jill Salzman called Why I'm Proud to Be a Mompreneur. And there are about 70 comments, most of them nasty comments, mostly from women who are not proud to call themselves mom anything. And so, you know, you can look through all of the comments. I spent a lot of time going back and forth with people proving my point. And I think that my underlying point was really wiped away by this controversial label, mompreneur.
Right.
And so, personally, if you ask me, I don't really care for that term. It's just technically not right to me. But I definitely don't shy away from the mom entrepreneur. And some commenters on that article had a point. Well, I run The Founding Mom, so it's really easy for me to tell people I'm a mom entrepreneur. But you know what? I have run two other companies, both completely unrelated to mom anything. Mm-hmm. And I was happy to tell people I had kids. And often I slowly discovered over time when I told people I had kids, they understood. People are people. They're personable.
Right.
They
right.
sort of understood, oh, I have to jump off the call. My kid is wailing or, you know, X, Y, or Z is happening. And as an entrepreneur, I don't work in a giant corporate conglomerate situation. So I don't, you know, have to engage with people who would think really, really poorly of having to jump off the phone and go grab my kid from school. But
right.
I think in this day and age, it's perfectly fine. So I'm going to get off my pedestal now, but it's just funny you brought that up because there's a whole article that exists in the world saying I'm really proud about that.
I found the link and
oh,
I put it in the chat room, and then when we repost this on thenumberswhisperer.com, I will include it there as well.
Oh, how funny. Okay.
Well, and, you know, it's a great point because I struggled with it a lot, and just the title of being a mom and an entrepreneur, whatever words you want to use, but embracing
sure.
the mom and the entrepreneur role at the same time. I mean,
I would so beg and plead for more women who are not running mommy-related companies to keep
right.
saying it, because whenever
yes.
I tell people I run this organization, they assume that thousands of us are getting together to talk about the toys we just invented or the new diaper that we have. And the majority, I'll be honest, I want to say 80 to 90% of our members are lawyers or accountants or branding experts or, you know, not inventors, not doing anything related to kids.
Right, right. No, I think that's a great point. And actually, just really quick, we have 5 minutes left.
Okay.
I want to highlight the book that Jill wrote that I love.
Okay.
And, oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to also... There are just some hilarious things in here, as well as all of her personal stories. Found It, A Field Guide for Mom Entrepreneurs.
Yes.
My personal, I mean, there's tons of great, a couple of things I like about this book. First of all, is you have it in, like, bite-sized nuggets.
Yeah.
So, and you don't have to read it from start to finish. You can look into it, and I'm looking at it right now because, yes, I have a copy.
You can totally
find.
Hop around. Yep.
You can just go and, you know, work it, live it, resources. You have manage your time, which, of course, is one that people – so I can just go right to that, and I don't have to have read the rest of the book to go
right.
there and read that section.
Correct.
Which I love.
Thank you.
And I love, she's got all these little funnies in here, my personal favorite, because I am the Post-it queen. It says, I've been out of Post-its for 3 months because I can't figure out a way to remind myself to buy more.
Yeah, I hired an amazing cartoonist who ended up putting a lot of those together and came up with those cute little taglines for those cartoons you're looking at. He's pretty awesome.
Yes.
One thing near the end, you have a section on organizing. What you, which of course any mom knows is crucial to keeping their sanity. What is your number one life-saving
Honestly, I'm the worst person to ask that question to because I use 600 different devices to organize myself, and I'm very disorganized. And I probably say that because I need so much more organization in my life. But I use a combination of Evernote, a program online that you can use on your phone anywhere, really. I use Wunderlist.com, the
okay.
Wunderlist.com. I use Ta-da List, which you actually can't use anymore
okay.
if you've never used it before. They closed up
okay.
newbies being able to access it. I use sticky notes. I use emails to my Google Calendar. I use reminders from HiRise, and I use my husband. So I truly have no answer to that because there's not one thing. And every time I think there's one thing, I need something else. So I'm not the person to ask. There are many professional organizers out there who are better to ask. It's pretty rad. Yeah.
Those are some good ones. I've never heard of Wunderlist, so I'm going to have to check that out. So just to wrap things up, Jill, how
yeah,
can
I'd love for them
find
to find me.
I'm
everywhere, but really you should go to foundingmoms.com. If you're on Twitter, I'm at foundingmom.
And from there, you can go to the giant tab on, or the giant button on the homepage that says Attend, and it will direct you to a link where we list all of our cities and countries and where we have meetups. If we don't have a meetup in your city, please email me, because then we can get one going. I want one everywhere there is a mom entrepreneur within, you know, 5 miles of her home. So if you don't see one close enough to you, just email me. I'm Jill@FoundingMoms.com, and I think that's about it. Yeah, you can buy the book online, too. We're at the same page.
Great. Awesome. That's right. Found It, a Field Guide for Mom Entrepreneurs by Jill Salzman. And if nothing else, it's a great, you need a little dash of humor. Just open it up.
Oh, and thank you. Well, thanks for letting me tell everybody all about this. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for being on our show, Jill, and we appreciate it. Just a reminder to all our listeners, I'm Nicole Fendi, The Numbers Whisperer, and you can find me at thenumberswhisperer.com. My Twitter handle is Nicole A. Fendi, and I would love to help you grow your bottom line. I promise I'll make finance fun, or I'll eat my pocket protector. Until next time, remember, profit is not a luxury.